Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right.
Just give me a minute, or rather a second.
Dude, by the way, I got myself a 4K HDR television. Do you know HDR, what that is?
Yes.
Dude, this is watching movies on that shit is incredible, man. Jesus. Just saying.
Don't it get you a little bit dizzy, or are you already used to it?
No, it doesn't get me dizzy at all. It's just an amazing viewing experience. The HDR color, especially in combination with 4K resolution, really gives you I don't know how to say it. It's just amazing.
It's almost too much.
It's almost too much, yeah. Sometimes it's very bright, yes.
Yes. Would you imagine that one day reality will seem very, very bland to us because of all those technologies?
Probably, yeah, probably.
Anyway, I will now bring the button. We will start.
All right, ready when you are.
Now recording.
Hi, everyone. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. This is the Friday audio chat. And we are with Cooler to discuss 9/11. Because Cooler is someone that is from Netherlands, he is a member of Clues Forum. And it occurred to me that he has a lot to say about 9/11, that he seems to have researched that topic a lot. And I really like to discuss 9/11, so it's excellent for me. So hi, Cooler.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. How are you?
I'm fine. It's always a pleasure to discuss 9/11, like I was saying. So, what do you think happened on that day? What is your opinion on that specific situation?
Yeah, sure. I'm glad to invite you, like, what I can call maybe the journey to finding what I think is the truth if it comes to 9/11. By the way, side note, if you hear some stumbling noise, my neighbors are having a party, so I'm sorry for that. But anyway, like you know, because we already chatted about this a couple of times, I think. For me personally, I started to look into 9/11 when I was still pretty young, okay? Because when 9/11 happened, I didn't really live through it that day because I was really still a child. But I remember, like, when I was, like, 15 years old or something, or 14, 15 years old, I think, you know, I had my own computer because I needed it for school, you know, for making homework and whatnot. So, also, I learned about YouTube. YouTube was really something upcoming in that year or the year before. And I don't know, like, what triggered me or something, but somehow I decided one day, I guess, to look into 9/11 videos. So the news broadcasts and the amateur footage, because there was a lot of amateur footage on YouTube regarding 9/11. And this was just, you know, nothing. I wasn't fishy about it or something in the first place. I was just looking into what I thought was a historical event that happened in, you know, in my lifetime or, yeah, when I was still young. So I just wanted to know what actually happened. Somehow it interested me, this topic. And I just looked up so many amateur footages especially, or even maybe documentaries or films that were made about 9/11. And I was kind of impacted by the imagery because some of the imagery is so, like you almost get the feeling like you are there, you know, because of some of the amateur footage.
Yes.
So it impacted me. yeah, it impacted me. I was like, "Whoa, who's so crazy to do something like this?" You know. And at that time, like I said, you have to imagine I'm like 50 years old or something.
So I can totally imagine that. When I was 25, I was persuaded that it was Saudis on an airplane with box cutters. So I cannot fault you for believing that at age 15.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't like fishy about it at all. It was just actually it scared me a little bit. That's a feeling I don't know anymore now, but if I grave into my memories, I can recall feeling pretty much shocked by the imagery itself, you know? And then after a while, I think you had the same experience. You told me that or wrote it somewhere. After a while, I bumped into Loose Change. You're familiar with that movie, I guess, right?
Yes, that movie, and I can never thank enough the guy that did it, is the one that bring me here and brought me here in the end. It started some awakening, some research, and general understanding of the way the world is ruled. And it was in 2006 that I saw Loose Change. So
yes.
Props to the guy that did it, and props to the TV channel, the French TV channel, Planet Plus, which chose to broadcast this movie.
Yeah, and I have to say that nowadays I think different about the authors of that movie and what their intentions were. But I will come back on that a bit later. But yes, I have to admit, just like you then, I started to get introduced with the idea that the official story was bullcrap because of Loose Change. And it was also indeed broadcasted by mainstream media channels. I remember that very well. Also the Dutch mainstream television channel, they broadcasted this documentary. I think maybe a year later there was a final cut, like a new version, right? 2007 maybe.
Yes.
So I watched it and
But Loose Change, just to add to it before we go past that, Loose Change was tailored for young like you and me at the time, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
It was made with some kind of hip-hop beat. It had nice editing, and it was tailored for us, in reality.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I have to say that. I always say that. I mean, I have done an interview about this once before on, I don't know if you know, the Clues Chronicle podcast. It's a podcast of Clues Forum, but yeah, just like you, it was really Loose Change who started to make me doubt the official theory. But I will come back to Loose Change in a while because I have a different opinion about this movie now, but let's keep that for a bit later. And I remember just because of Loose Change, I started to dig for more controversy about 9/11. I remember watching maybe some other video or documentary called In Plain Sight. Does that ring a bell with you, maybe?
With plain, yes, as in plain, not plain.
Yeah, In Plain Sight it was called, I believe.
Yes, I don't remember exactly what was the theory on that one, but I watched them all at the time. When it was still possible to watch them all on YouTube, I watched them all.
Yeah, well, that documentary was about... they made a theory that the airplanes that hit the Trade Center were military jets, and they made a big deal out of a sort of flash you would see when the cockpit of the plane enters the building. And they tried to make the theory that some sort of device was attached to the airplane with a missile on it or something like that. It was kind of... nowadays, I know that these theories are false, but by then it was pretty convincing, you know, especially for a young person like me, I think. But I'm sure more people were influenced by this documentary. But anyway, even after that, I kept digging, and then just some day I bumped into a video called September Clues, also on YouTube. So I started to watch it, and I watched it one time, and then I just watched it again because it gave me very special sort of feeling. I don't know how to explain it, but I tried to understand what the guy was saying, what his stance of point was, and I got the idea that he was trying to say that the footage itself was fabrication, you know, fake. And I do remember, like, even before I looked into September Clues, I did ask myself once or twice when I watched the 9/11 footage, like, why does the airplane explode when it disappears completely in the building, you know? If you analyze the footage or if you're familiar with the footage, you know this. But yes. it never came up in my mind that it could be fake. So September Clues, I watched it over and over again because I couldn't, like, my mind was struggling with the information that it gave, okay? Because it shows you very well in multiple instances and in various ways that the footage is not real. It just cannot be real. For example, the airplane thoughts to the tower of the second hit are very contradictory, and there are just so many mistakes in the footage that it's actually laughable. But I still struggle with believing that because I was, like, questioning, like, what the hell, how is that possible? Because there should be hundreds or thousands of eyewitnesses and people that filmed the actual impact, you know? So I started to write comments in the YouTube section of the September Clues, and Simon Shek, the maker of this documentary, actually replied to me and other people that were asking questions. So I started to believe more and more that the videos were fake, even though I still had so many questions about it. And then, like maybe in 2010, I think 2011, something like that, I think Clues Forum came up, which is like a discussion forum about, well, nowadays it's about so many topics, but by that time it was mainly, you know, a September Clues documentary forum to discuss the documentary. So I went out looking on the website and tried to get more answers and trying to understand it more and more. Obviously, Simon himself and the others who worked on it, like Hoi Polloi, they had some questions too, but they started to get answers more and more when they kept continuing researching the imagery, you know? So, yeah.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
So when I started to read more and more pages on the Clues Forum, started to get more answers, like the frequently asked questions as well about eyewitnesses or how amateur footage would be impeded. And yeah, step by step, I started to realize what 9/11 really was. It was just a big Hollywood movie sold to us as a reality. That's pretty much
it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. So I can explain a bit more, but if you have any questions at the moment, you can ask them if you like.
Yes, there was quite the discussion this week on the Discord about the fact that some people seem to think that some parts of the footage that we are seeing may be real on the basis that the tower had to fall and that it's mandatory that people had camcorder or anything like that.
Well, that's a process I went through myself when researching 9/11. I couldn't, like, think that all the imagery was fake. I think even Simon, maybe in the beginning of the research, wasn't really ready to state that, okay? He did it much later. In the beginning, I thought also, like, maybe some of the footage is fake or the majority is fake, but there has to be some legitimate footage. But really, the more I looked into it, you can find multiple mistakes in any video or picture. So to me now, and this is not new for me, I came to that conclusion a long time ago, but I can say with 100% certainty in my humble opinion that none of the 9/11 footage is real. And to be more clear and more specific about this, I'm not saying that some people, you know, they misunderstand it. It's not like they filmed the real footage and edited an airplane into the footage later on. No, they like prefabricated the footage long before 9/11. They completely rendered, you know, basically Manhattan. So you're looking at completely fake footage, not just the airplane, but everything you see is just a computer-generated imagery of the World Trade Center too, and the surrounding buildings, everything. We are looking at a completely falsified and fake footage. And then, of course, one of the things that come up, some people will say, well, how is it possible that that this is the case and that no one filmed it? Well, what they have done most likely, and that sounds very logical to me, is just like using EMP, electronic disruption technology, you know, so that people that have camcorders and would actually be so risky to, you know, try to film the Twin Towers, when that happened, their camera equipment would simply not work. And there are people that that say that they've experienced such malfunctioning. I don't know if you were aware about this.
Yes, it's totally possible technologically to disturb any type of device or anything. You can set up mirrors or anything you want to make it so that it's impossible for anyone to film something of any relevance.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, I think according to the original story, like, Lower Manhattan was rapidly evacuated. But if you watch some of the amateur footage, it's like so many people are just hanging around the Twin Towers and filming it from close up. So that contradicts what the reports are saying. So I don't think that anyone in reality was able to just hang around the Twin Towers and just film the way they liked it. I think it was completely evacuated area.
Yes, before I agree.
Before it happened. Go ahead.
Yes, Fakeologist is with us.
I see. Welcome. So, that's what I believe, and that's one of the other reasons that disqualifies that amateur footage, when you see some of them filming the collapse so close and then running for their life and all that. I think it's all bullcrap. No one was there so close to the Twin Towers, you know, when it was demolished.
I don't think so either. I think that clearly there was no one was allowed that close, and even if you were for some reason that close, you firstly, we probably won't have any camcorder on you in 2001. And you will be escaping the authorities, if anything, so that won't let you any possibility to film.
You would probably follow your instinct and get the hell out of there anyway, because it's so risky
Definitely.
To just stand there.
Yes,
yeah,
because the thing is that we are speaking like from the position that we are knowing what will unfold, if you want. But if you were in that specific place at that specific time, you would not know anything. As far as you know, it might be total war or apocalypse, and there is no way that you say, oh, it's just those two buildings, they will fall down and I will film it. You will be, fuck, I'm out of here, I'm going to New Jersey, at the very least, if not Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly, and it's just, I mean, some of the amateur footage is literally the towers coming down and some guy filming it and not even and barely even running away, and the dust clouds get him and all that, you know. It's really not realistic. I mean, if it was real, usually people would run away, okay, if that was really happening. But just to repeat myself, like, maybe people don't know that, but I think if you go to septemberclues.info, there are, I think, like, two testimonial emails from New Yorkers that sent an email to Simon Shack saying that they were there on the day and that their cameras did not work. They were disrupted. They didn't turn on, you know?
Yes.
You can find those letters on the website. Yeah, you can find those.
Did you see that last video? that I put on FakoTube. Did you see that one?
Are you talking about another one that you discussed in the chat here on Discord?
Well, yeah.
It's the same
one, I think. Is that the same one? Because Marcus Allen gave me a video. I don't know where he got it from. I don't know if it's the video that I posted, the 30-minute one. Did you see that one where they just are videoing on the ground and then they shot the camera up to control demolition explosion tower, which looked like the demolition that they show in all the pictures?
I don't know. I saw like a video that I'm familiar with, where someone is filming the Twin Towers and then the guy or girl, I don't know, pans away and then she misses the explosion just in 1 second and then she pans back to the Trade Center. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm going to have to find it. Just give me a minute.
All right. But anyway, to continue while App is looking up the video, to come back to loose change and all that, I started to understand slowly that first I was like very optimistic. You know, I was like, why would Simon not team up with the loose change crew and all that? Because they would form a strong movement or whatever you want to call it. But I started to realize that those guys avoided the talk about media fakery at all costs. They didn't want to go there, and they even banned talking about September clues on their own website or forum. So slowly I started to understand, because of Simon and Hoi Polloi and all the others, that those guys were just, you know, what we now call controlled opposition. They just make it look like they're on the good side, but they give you like 50% of the truth, and they just hide the fact that the media was so highly involved into it. They want to make
sure
that... I'm going
to put the link in the 9/11 media fakery one. Take a look at that.
I will take a look, and they just make sure that that everyone still believes that 3,000 people died and all that, so they just keep the biggest part of the hoax they want to try to make that legitimate, you know, so that's what they are really about.
But funnily enough, that gets us both on the right track.
Sorry, what?
That documentary got us both on the right track.
It got us off on the right track, yes, but now it was very important to realize that they were not good guys. They were just trying to make a safe net for people that are looking into 9/11. They don't care
but
if people...
Don't forget them. It's a job. They are just contractors. I don't think that those guys... That they did it in the intention of fooling people, but that was just a contract, just a way to make a quick buck by getting some government allowance.
Yeah, but it's what you say yourself. You know, you said it yourself. Their editing and all that was really pretty good. They had a great budget. It was like a million-dollar movie, I think. So it's not very likely for two or three young student guys, I think that's what they were at that time, to make such a professional movie, you know. It was just a job they had to do, and they got paid for it, obviously.
Yes. But they did a pretty good job in the editing and everything. I mean, 15 years later, there hasn't been... Apart maybe from some parts of September 2, there hasn't been any documentary that is on the level of infographics, editing, and all that.
Yes. And to comment on app, I see you posted two links. The one with Joshua Good, I already commented on that indeed in the chat. And the first one, which says 9/11 no planes here, that is... an edited footage, because I know that video, and the original one actually does have an airplane in it, so someone edited it out, I think.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Yeah, someone tried to fool someone, you know, because I'm 100% sure the authentic one has an aircraft in it, for sure.
Not the authentic one, just the first one, that's better to say it that way.
Yeah, the first one, yes.
Okay,
that's a very funny footage, actually. It's an airplane, and the wing, like, disappears before it enters the trade center. It still looks really weird, but that's okay.
Footage is fake, or at the very least doctored in a way that we cannot really see what can be true in anything is. If the background or anything, there is so many layers on all of this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Simon also proved in some of his bonus videos that, the footage of the Twin Towers collapsing are also fake because they contradict each other. You know, the various footages about the Twin Towers collapse are also contradictory. And also, it's logical because everyone was like, all the scientists and all that were very confused making a judgment about the collapse videos because they make no sense. And they don't make sense, I think, because what you're seeing is not a reality, you know? It's really that simple. I don't think they can't make the towers collapse top button, maybe, you know, like what you see in the video. It's not very likely to happen that way, I think, so, yeah.
Too risky to broadcast live the footage of the tower collapse.
Sorry, by the way, you sound a bit far away.
Yeah, you're a little muffled, Jerry. I don't know, maybe log in and out. But you're still too far.
Maybe your mic is blocked.
If my mic goes like that, I gotta log in and log out. There's almost nothing else.
Okay, so that's what I'm about.
Alright.
Tell me about your visit with Simon. That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, that was 1 year ago in August 2019.
When you could travel, yes. And you're in Netherlands.
Yeah, indeed, I'm in the Netherlands. Well, I went to Rome just for holidays, actually. I just went there for a short week, sorry, and I plan to go there because I never went to Rome. So when I plan to go there eventually, I sent an email to Simon. I told him that I was going there, and I just asked if he was wanting to meet up, and we did eventually. It was really nice. What do you want to know?
I just want to know how it went, what you thought of Simon. Obviously, he's a real person.
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. Simon was very kind. He was really invited me to stay in his place. But I only stayed for a short time in Rome, and I already had a hotel in the center city of Rome. So I decided to spend 2 days at his place, which is like 30 minutes from Rome, I think, with the train. And he was very welcoming. He gave me some advice how to go to his place by train. I met up with him. He picked me up from the train station at his local place where the train arrived. We went to his house. He has a nice house there, very very beautiful nature all around it. And we were just sitting in the garden. It was really beautiful weather. We just started to talk about everything we like to talk about, you know, about all the research that was going on for years, about clues for and whatnot. And he has really nice neighbors. They paid him a visit randomly too. And overall it was just like a very nice experience to hang out with him for 2 days. And he had really, really nice Italian food.
It's Italian food that he would have. When I think of Italian, I think of spaghetti, and I know that's probably ignorant, but what is Italian food?
Yeah, he made nice pasta with fish and tomatoes and all that. It was really nice. And we did also eat pizza, yes. Pizza and pasta mostly, yes.
Was his mother still alive a year ago? I forget when she died. She there?
No, I believe no. She already passed away before. I think maybe a year before that or something.
Yeah,
it was just the two of us.
What drives Simon to really want to explore and reveal the soul people want to know? He went from unraveling 9/11 to unraveling a much bigger topic, which is the solar system. Did you ever?
Yeah.
Were you able to get a sense of why What is driving the man?
Well, he he was very enthusiastic indeed to talk about that subject with me too when I was there. But I politely told him, you know, I mean, it's nice that you do this. I even got his book, by the way, the Tychus Model book. But I always told him very politely that it's not my cup of tea. I don't know anything about solar system or stars and all that stuff. So I think I respect his work, absolutely. But I think that this work is indeed for a specific sort of community. Maybe science, certain scientific community, but it does not interest me personally that much, even though I still find it fascinating. I mean, if he's right about it all, of course it could cause a huge shock in astronomy and astronomy in the science world, but you know, yeah,
what
I don't know.
The
he's
rest
very
of the world? Do you think any change in the way that world's top minds agree on the universe will affect the rest of the world, drowning in the coronavirus hoax? Will it really change the world or just the astronomical world? Not one moment.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Patrick Semper Fi, upstate New York. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you repeat your question one more time?
Well, do you think that his revelation, his investigation, will change the rest of the world or just the astronomical? And the astronomical world has got to be minuscule compared to the rest of the world, those that think about these things.
Well, that's an interesting question indeed. Like, I understand what you're trying to say, maybe, because some people would say, indeed, like, I don't care about this stuff because it doesn't influence our personal life, right? So I understand if people take that stance. I don't want to say I am someone like that, but knows that I'm not into this research too much. I find it fascinating, but I don't stick with it as much as he does. But I think that if he would find some way to break through with this, of course it would make maybe the scientific community or whatever you want to call it, hopefully it will cause some sort of effect, because you actually kick out a very big scientific settled science, which is now the Copernicus model, right? So in that sense, I would say, yes, it could hopefully change not just the astronomical world, but science in general, that people become more open-minded for the idea that some settled science might be wrong. That would be a very big...
Is that an oxymoron, settled science?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. But I agree on the fact that if such a breakthrough were to come from someone that is kind of out of this system, it will change everything. So that's why I think that this breakthrough, even if his theories are right, it will never happen. For the simple reason that all those people have career based on the simple fact that this model is the one that is promoted.
Yeah, exactly. But that's true. But The word is if you would make the breakthrough, it could cause maybe some ripple effect in science, hopefully, yes. You know, but the question indeed is if. It's very difficult to do that because many people wouldn't like it. I think even Simon himself told me once that he doesn't have the illusion that he would achieve this in his lifetime, you know. That's what he told me once, I think, so.
He's very smart to even be able to wrap his head around it. I think he's very smart. I think he is in a top tier of intelligence that almost none of us, including, is in. Like, I know we can all look up at stars and try and track their motion, but I don't think my brain is capable of holding that information and try to translate it into diagrams like he does. I just don't think I have the mental capacity.
I don't have it. I can tell you right now, I don't have the capacity to do such a thing.
Yeah, it's almost like, it's just scientific work, right? And that's what he's doing with this thing.
I'm just not that smart. I admit it. I drive a truck. I admit I'm not that smart.
I'm saying to him all the time that I don't understand your model too, because I just don't have the knowledge, you know, so I guess.
Well, I can't even, but I can't even argue for the settled science Copernican model. I can't really argue for that because I just don't have the capacity to understand, other than a couple models where they have a spinning globe and they have the model that we all learned about in school with the things hanging from the ceiling. I can't argue with it too much. So I'm happy to agree with Simon because I know that Simon has decoded 9/11. And if Simon has decoded that so well, then I'd rather agree with him than any settled science models. I'm happy. And that maybe that's just because I like to be on the other side of everyone else. Just like even if I wasn't a fakeologist, I'd be pretty sure that coronavirus being so hard, there's a problem with it, and I don't really believe it, just because everyone else is pushing it, just like everyone else drink beer. I don't think I have to go out and drink beer and be like everyone, because I think there's a problem with everyone following the same path. So I like Simon just for that.
I like him too for that, yes. But it's not just going against the mainstream. I mean, his ideas, like we know that for 9/11, for example, are very well proven, in my opinion. So he's not just saying something to disprove the mainstream narrative, but he actually came up with something that makes 100 times more sense and actually proving it. And he does that too with Tychus, even though I don't understand it. He made a 3D model so people can verify his conclusions in a model, in a life scale, one-on-one scale model of our solar system.
This is another thing I think. I don't think there's that many smart people study the solar system. I think the number is small. Just like I don't think there are very many virologists out there that have a competing model to the one that everyone bought and paid for in the universities and the pharmacological corporations. I don't think there's anyone studying other models. So when we have to look for alternative explanations, we can't find people because they don't exist. And they're definitely not being paid. So that is a huge problem. That's why we go down to only less than 10 people speaking out against the virus model, because they are on the outside their whole lives. They actually took an oath of poverty by getting on the outside, and that's why they're kind of wacko, because they're not fully funded like the majority. That's the huge problem. That is the huge problem. That's why it's really hard to find people that are going to corroborate your point of view, because those people don't exist.
Well, I know, but the corona hoax thing made some professionals actually speak out, so I'm happy for that. Maybe that's one of the few times it happened. And like you know, I already told you that I know like a microbiologist personally who is actually publishing scientific article in scientific magazine, that she doesn't stand behind her own publication. She doesn't believe in coronavirus, but she is doing her PhD in this thing, so she has to make an article about it with her team and publicize. She doesn't believe in it, but she's not going to tell that out loud because it will destroy her career, you know?
That sounds like communism. You're in the system, but you don't believe in it.
Yeah, what a damn pity. How can we ever get far? How can we ever advance if even the institutes say they are for exploration of science, hobble and curtail it. I think that's disgusting. Which
it's one of the problems. It's one of the problems with science. Sometimes people think we are against science, maybe, but that's not the case. I mean, not with me, but I know that it's a very flawed system, unfortunately. I mean, I hold a degree in science.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not against science, but it's not like a perfect ideology that always has the truth about everything. And no, not at all. Unfortunately, not. It would be great if it was, but reality is different, unfortunately.
Yes, and there are some things that escape the field of science. The common example that people always refer to is a mom pulling a car up to save her child, for example. That is beyond the mean of science.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Of course, there are many things that are also out of the box of science, yes. And
so you can only go so far to explain those things with the scientific method.
Yes, exactly. And just a side note, because I tried to explain my quote-unquote journey about finding the truth about 9/11, if any one of you two guys have questions, that's awesome. I'm happy to explain everything.
Yeah, so when you were in your late teenage and you were finding out all those kind of truth, what was it to relate to other teenagers?
Oh, well, in the beginning, that's a very good question, by the way. That's a very good question. In the beginning, I mean, when I was 16, 17, 18, I discussed it with maybe a few friends sometimes who were like, okay, it could be true, but I just noticed that they were not so interested in these things.
Now recording.
Sorry, I had to bring back the bot. My bad, he left the room for some reason.
Oh, that's who left. What happened? Yes.
I
was distracted. What was the original question again?
It was how hard it was to relate to other teenagers knowing all those things about 9/11. And I also figured that at the time you were investigating 9/11, it was not your only preoccupation. So you might at the same time being made aware of different things in the world. And that must have been pretty difficult, I imagine.
Yeah. When I was like maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, like I did bring it up with some friends of me on school, for example, one of my closest friends, but most of them I noticed were not so interested in it. They just were like, yeah, you could be right, but blah, 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 you know, so people like that. And maybe very few friends of me was like, okay, you're right, and this is interesting. But most of them didn't seem to care too much, to be honest. They were not like so invested in this thing. I mean, I was spending hours in my free time reading topics on Clues Forum or watching September Clues bonus videos and all that. Most of my friends were not doing that, of course, or just playing video games or something. I did that too, obviously. I was still young also, okay? I liked many things, but I also spent time doing that. The problem more actually came much later, maybe starting from my early 20s when I started to love more things, because it started like for me, just like with you guys, it started really with 9/11, but after a while I started to realize that the media, of course, since they were involved in 9/11, they were not what we thought they were. So my entire view of the world and how it was run and how information is spread was changing. And I started to doubt more so-called terrorist attacks and whatnot, you know. And then I think around 2014 or something, when I was in my 20s, started even to doubt space travel, which was really a big shock. Me, when I found it on Clues Forum, I was like, Simon smoked so much weed or something, you know, when I found that topic. But I gave it a chance because I was like, well, Simon is the guy who brought the truth about 9/11, so I should also try to give this a chance. So So when I started to doubt so many things that many people just take for granted and very normal, then some of my friends, unfortunately, they started to make fun of me, or worst case scenario, started to get angry at me when I brought up such topics. So I stopped doing it after a while, because it was no use. You know, you have this feeling inside, you want to spread the info as far as possible, but when your own friends are turning against you, some of them, what are you going to do then, you know?
Yes, you do what we all did, and you keep it to yourself as much as possible until you found an outlet for it.
Yeah, I try to figure out, like, what persons can I trust to share this information and which persons I don't. Unfortunately, one of my best friends, I haven't spoken to him anymore since more than 1.5 years now, I think. And one of the reasons is this, because I stopped bringing it up to him, because I know he's just getting annoyed when I do. But he attacked me out of the blue many times when something happened. And even though I kept my mouth shut not to annoy him, he did that many times. So I was so angry at him at a certain point that I just blocked him, you know, and haven't spoken to him since. So that's sad, but yeah, that's how things are going sometimes.
Yes, there aren't that many people that you can discuss those topics with.
Yeah, indeed. But luckily now with Corona, I've met more people from my age in my own area, even students, you know, because I'm still studying, that are open-minded about this and doubting official narrative about Corona. So that's a great development.
And that's why we have fakeologists, because we have some light. You won't be ridiculed here. The best part of the internet, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm happy
yes.
for that. I'm happy.
Definitely.
But I think one of the worst things I encountered, if it comes to those personal experiences, is two of my ex-housemates, because I have housemates, they, you know, but sometimes someone moves out and new one comes in. But there used to be one guy, I was cool with him, you know, he was one of my friends. He was a funny guy, but he absolutely hated what he calls conspiracy theorists. So when he figured out I doubted 9/11 and all that, he started to make fun of me and even get very emotional about it, very angry. And again, the same thing happened. Even though I didn't bring it up anymore, he tried to bring it up to me sometimes just to get a reason to blow up in my face, you know? And that was just one guy. And one other time, I had another ex-housemate of me. He doesn't live here anymore. I remember that there was this attack in France by the time in 2015. And he used to live in France before he moved out here.
Charlie Hebdo event.
Sorry, what?
The Charlie Hebdo event.
No, I think it was the other one, the Bataclan event.
Bataclan, yes.
I didn't say anything again. I was discussing it with another housemate, telling him that I thought it was fake. And then the French guy walked in. So my housemate said to him, hey, he doesn't believe it. So the guy from France was really angry at me. He started to curse me and all that. And I was like, oh, calm down, man. What the hell? I didn't do anything. And
yes.
Luckily, he apologized afterwards.
I think that for those people, it's so much a foundation of the way they see the world, their system of thought, that in the end they cannot accept that the possibility that it might be different than what they think.
Oh yes, absolutely. I mean that guy, not the French one, but the one I told before that blew up in my face from time to time to attack me. He hates religion, okay? He also hates religion, but I mean his religion is news media basically. It's his foundation to get information, and he feels very insecure without it, obviously. So that's what triggers their anger, I think, sometimes.
Yes. They, like I say, they need it to be through it. But the world cannot be different than what they are seeing in the news. Because that will mean that they were wrong all this time, and some people cannot admit that they were wrong.
Yes, exactly. It's sad, actually, but you want the best for them, but they are not open to listen, or they cannot handle it. I don't know.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Those idiots don't even know where we live.
Well,
I already got that one earlier.
But, yeah, it's sad that some people are like that, but I changed in that way because when I was younger and more opportunistic, maybe I tried to convince everyone in my path to do the truth, or what we will call the truth. But nowadays, no, because I know it's useless with some people, you know?
Yeah, so in 2009, I was saying to each and every person I met that the Freemasons were ruling the world and that there was a satanic cabal to take over the control of the mind of the people. So I would say that earlier in my life I was more belligerent and I was trying to spread the truth, or what I thought was the truth at the time, to as many people as possible in the shorter time possible.
Yeah. You just have to pick your battles, as they call it, I think.
Yes, definitely. But that comes with experience. You understand that suddenly your workmate might not be the good guy to speak about 9/11 on Tuesday morning.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, that's a bit of my experiences. And did any of you guys have experiences with friends that get angry at you and all that?
Not really angry, but during the beginning of this COVID panic, I was with a lady that is a bit older than me. I'm 36 and she was 52. And the thing is that she was buying it wholesale, and it was a point of contention because she was believing it and I was careless. I was not washing my hand. I didn't give a shit about anything COVID related. I was still traveling across the country doing anything. So when we are out one day, she was speaking to me about COVID, how terrible it was. And there was this guy that was begging with a dog on the street. So I shake the guy's hand and touch the dog just to show her that there were no threats, no nothing. And she was quite upset about it. So.
Yeah, I had happened to me too in the supermarket once. I didn't keep my distance enough for a woman in front of me. And she turned around and she got really bitchy to me. She said, hey, keep 1.5 meter distance, you know, you're not keeping distance.
It's very much. But that poor lady, she was probably waiting all her life for the moment to have the opportunity to tell someone else.
Perhaps, yeah. But, yeah, the situation sucks now, but...
it will be worse. Winter is coming in Europe, it will be worse. Believe me on that.
Oh, yeah, I know. They are already making more strict
yeah,
rules.
Yeah, that's happened to me. My sister got mad at me over 9/11 about me saying that I don't think the death count is right, and I think that they're simulated, and that's the last time I brought that up with her. And as for the cold aids, I came up to a guy that worked in a mechanic shop and without a mask. Got all. He just said, hey, wait a minute, get back. You know, you don't have a mask. I was surprised at him. I had not seen him in a while, so... Every single person, you have to completely believing this. You got to be, every interaction is a new experience.
Yeah, it sucks that it happens.
I wish everyone would just put a believability meter on their arm. So from don't believe to completely believe. That way you can easily approach them in a different way. Because they literally think you can kill them. So I want to know, do you think I can kill you by breathing on you, or do you completely think this is BS? I think everyone should have to have a number.
Yes, but the thing is that who will be the the community to wear the yellow star, if you want. The believer or the non-believer will have to wear a distinctive sign.
Well, I think we should have a meter.
Yes.
Four colors. Everyone should have to wear a color. I think we should switch to that system if possible. A belief. Would that help or hurt the established? I think that would hurt them. You think that would help them?
Okay. Yes. Yes,
but
that's the same thing that's happening in China.
But
social credit.
What I'm saying is a belief meter. I don't want a credit system, but that's coming. There's nothing you can be able to stop it. What if we had a color system? So green means I don't believe any of this, and then it just goes right to red. Red means you're completely, completely on board, and you think you're going to die very shortly if anyone comes here. I want to only hang out with people with the green. I don't even want to go near a red guy. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to look at you. I don't want anything to do with you.
Maybe it would even cause more division, though. I don't know.
How can we be more divided if we literally have no idea what level of panic we're dealing with until we get nearby? Now,
yeah,
I think it's much worse. I really think we. I think, like today, I walked to my mechanic. No one's wearing a mask in here. No one's wearing a mask at all. So I'm pretty sure that none of these people are in any way worried. They're more likely to have a transmission fall on their head and bust their head open. Then get sick from COVID, so I know that probably wearing a mask would be more dangerous to work in here because they could get injured, can't breathe properly by some of the heavy equipment around here. But other than that, I have no idea what their view is. I think that would be very beneficial. If you walk around town and see green everywhere, you know that all these people are completely on the good side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, did you ever did you ever talk to your sister again about 9/11 or not at all? Hello?
Yes, I don't know if he got the possibility to hear you. Are you still here, Ab?
I think he's gone.
Yes, probably. So yes, the thing is that everything will be worse and worse in Europe. Winter is coming. Some more measures are coming. But the worst thing that could happen, in all reality, would be that they say that Trump died of COVID.
Yeah, he apparently contracted COVID, I read it today.
Yes,
but
not contracted, but he was positive to the test, which is a small distinction, because they can always say that he's asymptomatic or something like that, but if the narrative is that the President of the United States is to die of that supposed disease, it's terrible, because that's the end of everything in the end.
But the mainstream media, okay, because I read today in the Dutch mainstream news, and the title is like, is Trump faking his corona infection?
Yes. So at one point they are going to our side, slowly but surely.
No, but I mean, I don't know about you, but me personally, I don't believe in any politician or president, no matter if it's a Democrat, Republican, or Trump. I don't know. I don't trust any of them. I don't think that Trump is a so-called apprentice that's on our side and all that. I don't stick with that narrative, to be honest.
Oh, I said earlier, because we recorded something earlier, that I'm of the opinion that all those people were designed to be what they are way in advance, and that if it was not Trump, there was a short list of people that would have been brought to be the president if it was not him. He might not have even have been the first name on the list.
Oh, yes, that could be true. So I'm not really focusing too much on the president or whatever. I think it's a big theater, you know.
Yes, oh, definitely. This guy has absolutely no more power than a four-star general or anything like that. It's just that he's the puppeteer-in-chief. He's the one that they want to put to the public front. But what I was meaning is that if this fucker is to die from COVID, that's the end of it. Because the people that are believing in it, I mean, the president of the United States died of it. It's finished. None of those assholes will ever question any confinement measure or anything like that.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't want to think too negative, to be honest, because it's already very bad what we are in, and I'm not. It doesn't really help, in my opinion, to forecast more bad scenarios and all that. Even though I think what's interesting is I didn't share that yet with you guys. I think. You know, in Holland, you have the Dutch royal family, like a king and a queen, we have that. And the king, so the Dutch king, he said in his yearly speech that, you know, he's just talking bullshit. And he said also, like, we should be prepared of another external shock. And he wasn't talking about Corona. He was talking about something else. So maybe he was hinting to a new sort of psyop that they're planning. I don't know. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that will happen in the near future again. Yes. Maybe what has to do with Trump, maybe not. I don't know.
Yes, and in a way, it's not the worst situation because everything I foretold to so many people over the years are starting to be true. And in the end, for some strange reason, I'd rather live in this world that is fucked up than being a lunatic that was wrong all along.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping that they are... I just hope that they are overplaying their cards, they're playing too much bluff, and that they will fall eventually. That's what I'm hoping for that, you know, in the end. But we will see what happens. Time will tell us.
Yes. And it's a great time to be alive. Something is happening, and we are in the midst of it. I think it's pretty cool.
And also, if you're coming back to 9/11 about the victims, because that was mentioned too, like there are no victims. This is, of course, one of the barriers for people that are new to the research, think that no one died. But when you try to shut down your emotions a little bit and think rationally about the entire thing, it's pretty logical because they would be pretty stupid to kill all sorts of businessmen that would hire offices in the trade center, you know? I mean, you're killing lawyers, bankers, other businesses.
And the fact is that if I did a quick YouTube search, I will probably find 1,000 videos of people that are family members that died in Vietnam, but I will probably find less than 10 videos with different people that have relatives dying on 9/11.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the victim thing, or what they call victims, is also well documented on septemberclues.info.
Yes.
But even though that it's very well documented, it's still hard to grasp for some people. So that's what I'm saying. If you think logical about it, it would be kind of stupid of them to kill thousands of people. So, yeah, that's why they wouldn't do it also.
Yes. So there is a part of the conspiracy world that cannot subscribe to that theory on the basis that for them it was a satanic ritual, and for that ritual to be efficient, they have to be casualty.
That is just fear-mongering disinformation, I'm pretty sure. It's just to scare people, actually.
I think that there was a symbolic part in that event, of course. But I don't go as far as thinking that it was a royal ritual with a blood sacrifice and all that. But, of course, there was a symbolic part in it.
Symbolic part? Yes, of course.
But not to the effect of a war ritual or anything like that. It's just a theater. It's just a spectacle.
Exactly, yeah. It's just a spectacle. And blood shedding is not a part of the plan. It's very, it would be very dangerous to do that. They don't want any trouble for real, you know, people starting to get lawsuits against the government for having their family members killed, so they would absolutely avoid that. And
Yes, and they also gave an insane amount of crush money to first responder and some New York citizen and all that. So the budget was already gigantic for the hush money and everything. Not that people were able to know anything or like that, but just you will go with the narrative easily if there is a payout.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I think there was a source about the history of the World Trade Center that it's a book, I believe, and it states that after the 1993 bombing of the Trade Center, it was just necessary to make sure the Trade Center was empty, you know, because the source says that after this attack, all the tenants of the Twin Towers were evacuated and located in other places. So this source even states that the World Trade Center was empty maybe by, end of 1993, you know?
Yes. And there is also, it is less mentioned when we discuss 9/11, but there is also this whole 1993 event also.
Yeah, I think it was necessary event to make sure the Twin Towers got empty. So, yeah, it was just, that was the main reason they did that one.
Yes, it was to establish a bad stigma around the building and to discourage any and all positive attention towards it. It was not the building to be in New York, let's say.
Exactly, yes. So I'm just thinking if I covered everything about 9/11. I can just say, like, pretty much every theory that was broadcasted on mainstream media channels or figures like, what's her name again, that woman? She's some scientist that says, Betty Wood, yes. All the theories that are based on the imagery are false and often controlled opposition figures, you know, that promote those theories. That's pretty much it. It's really that simple, to be honest,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you cannot believe what your eyes are telling you on that specific case.
Exactly. And I would encourage anyone that listens to this broadcast and wants to figure out more about it, then just go to cluesfarm.info and you will find many pages that expose more imagery besides that are covered in September 2s. You will even see that many, many mistakes in the footage that only released after 2010, because they released like footage in 2010 and later in HD quality, which is also debunked on Clues Forum. So if you are interested, go ahead and look it up.
Yes. And we are also still here to discuss it. And each and every time of the day, you will find someone that is more than willing to discuss 9/11 a bit. So.
We can hear F. Bacon.
Yes, your volume is quite low. We can't really get what you are saying. Your volume is quite low and you are catching up.
No, we cannot hear you, Ep.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support.
All right. So, Benoit, do you have any other questions, or do you want to tell us?
I think that we more detailed question or anything like that, but I'm not one of those people. I think that I wanted to have your general understanding of it, and the thing is that you've met Simon Shack, you have the opportunity to see the man in flesh, and that's not something that each and every 9/11 researcher or Clues Forum enthusiast has done, so I really wanted to get your feedback on it. more than an in-depth technical analysis of such and such video, which I think was overdone over the years, and it's kind of pointless for us to do that. So I was more than happy to have you and to discuss that on a normal tone, let's say, and not so much on a technical perspective.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, Cooler, what was Derpatitious, what was his issue? What was his issue with the whole thing?
I don't know what his deal was, to be honest. I don't know what he was trying to say. Let me check.
I think, if I am correct, his opinion is that some of the footage is real, like the collapse, for example.
That one.
Well, then just go and watch September Clues Addendum, it's called. It's probably, I'm sure it's on FakoTube, right?
Yeah, everything is on FakoTube. You got it. I put them all on there. There's a September Clues playlist.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the video that's called September Clues Addendum, I think it's called that. I think that covers like the collapse footage analysis, and you will see that the collapse footage is also fake. Like, I want to repeat myself here maybe, but the theory really is that you're not looking at the real Trade Center, you're not looking at the real Manhattan. Everything you see in the picture is just a pre-recorded fake image of Manhattan and its surroundings. It's not a real video with real collapse and airplanes edited to a real video. It's just completely fake scenery of Manhattan or New York. So nothing you see is real. Yeah. That's pretty much what I believe. And I'm sure that's what Simon's theory is, too. And, I don't know why, who was there? I read his comments earlier, but I don't know what he was trying to say to me, but
I don't know either what he was saying. I can't even find my playlist right now, but just search September Clues. I think I put every word has September Clues on it.
Yeah, well, oh wait, I see it here. He said, I don't see how this footage has been proven fake. Was referring to on video, and then I showed him, like, the towers are not in shadow, and the other footage, they are in shadow, and in that footage, they are in sunlight, so that's a big contradiction.
That's a physical impossibility, I would say, even. It's even more than a simple contradiction. That's just something is not possible.
Exactly, this guy has either not really looked into it enough, or he is provoking. I don't want to say that, but I got the idea that he tried to provoke me or something. But it's easy to debunk his claims, you know?
Yes, but I don't want to extend too much on that, just from the basis that the guy is not here to defend himself, so it would be kind of unfair to debate endlessly on what he could have wrote while he's not having the ability to respond.
Fair enough, no problem.
I don't even see September Clues Addendum. Maybe I didn't put it on.
Oh, okay. It should be somewhere
on YouTube still.
Yeah, or maybe on the Fakeologist website somewhere. I don't know.
Probably.
No, I'll put it on. Mm-hmm. I'll put it on.
Yes, or if you want to, Delcroix has put it 1 year ago on YouTube, so you can grab it from there.
Yes, I see that. But that's his 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yes.
That seems too long.
True, Addendum is like maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay,
max.
There is a version just below it that is subtitled in Turkish.
Yes, I gotta find it and put it on.
Definitely.
Yeah. But about Simon Shek and my visit, of course it was really nice to meet him, but for other people, Simon even told me to write that in the chat. He requested me to do that, so I did. Like, he's open to anyone, like, who has genuine questions. You can send him an email and I assume you will answer that.
So we'll definitely send him an email. And if time permits and if we connect, I will meet him in Italy, definitely, because it's not really far from where I am. It's about an 8-hour ride.
You should meet him, Benoit. You should meet him.
Yes, as soon as the time is better, because taking such a bike ride in the winter might reveal hazardous. Because people in Italy are known to drive like assholes, so. That's the reputation they have, at least, so. I will not put that to the test on the winter, but yes, definitely. It's on my travel plan with the bike next year to go and meet Simon, if possible, in Italy.
Yeah, I would advise you to do that. He's really kind. He's a very nice guy. And you will see that he is indeed very enthusiastic about Tychos.
Yes, I'm staying on the same page as you with the Tychos. With Ab too, I'm not smart enough to even grasp the basic concept of it. So I can always listen, but I might not be the best audience for that, because just on the basis that I'm not smart enough, I stopped at school way too early in my life to have any type of technical knowledge of the universe.
Oh, yeah, it's not even that. I mean, I'm studying, but I don't understand much of it. It's a very specific type of science, you know. You have to read into it and understand it all, and I just not my pace of science, to be honest, but I do understand, like, one of his main discoveries is, I think, that he says that the Earth is that the Earth is pretty much stationary, only traveling with 1.6 kilometers an hour, and that the sun is evolving around the Earth instead of what we now believe it's the other way around. So I think that's one of his main conclusions.
Yes, like I said, I cannot say much on that topic. It really, really, really goes up of my head. There is no way I ever get the intelligence required to get the idea of it. But yes, the basic concept, yes, of course, it can probably be explained in a few minutes without much complication, but the intricacy of it, the technical aspect and all that, it takes someone that is really, really educated on that field.
Yes,
and
yes,
like
sir,
Ab was saying, there is probably less than 1,000 people in the world.
Yeah. I'll tell you where to pull over. You could...
So that was Ab. He forgot to mute himself. He was talking with someone, so I server muted him. Which is kind of ironic to mute fakeologists from the fakeologist server, but, and that's a premiere. But that's nice. That's kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah, so, I think that was pretty much it, unless you have to cover something else.
No, not really. We will continue to record, but it will be more of a tongue-in-cheek discussion about the general march of the world and 9/11 specific.
Okay. All right. In that case, thanks for having me, and I will
always look forward a pleasure.
Thank you, and I will look forward when this conversation gets published, and
probably tomorrow.
Yeah, have a...
But I can always send you the Craig link to the recording bot if you want it, because that way you can have the file right away, and you can have different audio tracks, as in you can separate me, Ab, or you on the track. So I will send you the Craig link.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you very much.
I was talking to my Uber driver. I got screwed up.